she's a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around.
Io's house
in the middle of our street.
Io's house
in the middle of
Isle's House, episode 47, the live edition. If sitting through 3 hours of one of the worst hockey games you've ever watched wasn't enough, Ethan, Jack, and Rocco here to sit with you at 11:05 p.m. on a Tuesday night to talk about it even more. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. I'm at EthanGSN, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy, Jack at Isle's Den. Follow the pod page at Isle's House. Subscribe, we're everywhere. We're on iTunes, Spotify. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube, where we are live right now. We would very much appreciate it. Here we go. Ready? This way. There it is. If you're watching on YouTube or X, top right of your screen, that QR code. If you want to go check out our merch store, I'm rocking the Casa hat. Rocco's rocking the Isle's House hat. Jack, once again, needs a marketing lesson. And on we go. Check out the fine folks at Rust and Gold, who also sponsor the pod. They're located in Huntington. Great bar, great food. If you want to go for a game, NFL playoffs, Islanders, whatever it is, check them out. And if you're an Isle's House Patreon subscriber, you get a nice little gift from the fine folks at Rust and Gold. Patreon.com/Isle's House for access to our Discord, the ability to ask questions during a podcast, and some other fun goodies in there. Jack fumbling with his mic. We're off to a hot start. Jackie, recap. Yeah. Take us away.
So last time we recorded, it was quite different because I think it was a 9-0 Islanders win against New Jersey, followed up by probably the complete opposite type of game against Nashville. I felt like really nothing happened that entire game other than two goals, and then it went all the way to a shootout. Then Saturday, the Islanders played the Minnesota Wild, and my biggest takeaway was with Quinn Hughes, it was like that's what life is like playing against Matthew Schaefer, probably. Maybe not yet, but in a few years, that's what it'll look like. This guy was incredible, but not incredible enough. Somehow the Islanders pulled that game out on the back of Simon Holmstrom, who I'm sure we'll get to on this podcast. I think he had a 3-point night, the game winner in overtime.
Yes, he did, Jack.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. It was might have been four. He was the best player in that game. And then tonight, the Islanders just pretty much got worked. I mean, other than 3 minutes in the second period, it was not one of their better games. Winnipeg was really able to play their game, and it felt that way at the end when it was 5-3 and the zone time was really hard to come by. But it happens. 25-16 and 4-5 is their record. You really can't complain about every loss. Although this one, coming against a team that's low in the West, they're probably very desperate, trying to get their season back on track. So wasn't so surprised by it. Any thoughts from you guys?
Many.
Yeah.
Rocco.
Tonight's game, it's like they're still playing pond hockey in Anders Lee's childhood backyard, basically. That was so sloppy, so disgusting. Minnesota game kind of just stole it, right? And I don't know. This team, they find ways to win games, but it doesn't always look so pretty, I guess.
They almost found a way to tie this game, which is insane.
did either of you feel after that Schaefer goal, like the way the season's going, maybe we had a weird goal here? You didn't feel it tonight?
I was thinking
it because this
season. I was dumb enough to sit through the final 45 seconds, but yeah, I mean, after the – okay, here's a project. I'm going to task this into our good friend of the program, Data Dom. And if he refuses to do it, I'm going to do it. As we all know, I have a height fetish when it comes to hockey and hockey teams. We did this discourse a few episodes ago, I think, when the Islanders played the Capitals. We saw it against Vancouver. We saw it tonight against Winnipeg. I think if your team's average height is like 6'3 or 6'4, just pencil in a W against the Islanders. These teams with size clogged the neutral zone against the Islanders so well. And the Islanders are not the biggest team, and so they struggle. They struggle against the Capitals. They struggled against Vancouver. They struggled against the Jets in both games that they played. And to me, like, that, it's a weird thing to notice and have as a takeaway, but it is certainly one of mine. outside of.
Did you feel Winnipeg was that physical tonight? It was. They weren't necessarily physical.
No, I just think it's the size. Like in the neutral zone, and to hit to be physical doesn't necessarily have to mean big hits. It's just using your body to take up a ton of space, and these teams do it exceptionally well against the Islanders, who have a ton of smaller forwards.
Yeah, I thought that when we played Washington, it showed much more than it did in a game
and like Florida.
But again, like Florida, like they looked atrocious against Vancouver too, and Vancouver is kind of one of those teams now. After trading away a bunch of their, I'll say, more talented players, it's just like, all right, we're going to skate really fast and we're going to be really big, and some teams are going to struggle against it.
They're a bunch of grinders now.
They're a bunch of grinders.
And Pettersson.
Yeah. Specifically, I thought Matt Barzal was atrocious tonight. That first goal, I have no idea what he was doing, but he just got owned right in front of the net. He had a number of turnovers, a number of bad passes. I think he's a guy who especially struggles against bigger teams because he's not the biggest guy in the world. And also if he's unable to carry the puck through the neutral zone, then it's game over. So I didn't think he was particularly good. Shabanov, I don't even understand what we're doing anymore. So
I think it's time to have the discussion about Jonathan Drouin.
Okay. That too. That's who's going to be my next guy, but Jack, why don't you take us away?
I tweeted it during the game. We were still figuring out our Thanksgiving Day plans when Jonathan Drouin last scored a goal. It's been over 2 months, and turnover after turnover tonight, he was atrocious. And I can't believe I'm the one to say this, but you look at who's in the lineup at the end of the game in the 6-on-5s, the power play one. He's on all of those units. And I like Drouin as a player. I think he genuinely does bring some good to the table, but he has been atrocious for a little bit here. And it's time to send a little bit of a message, I think. Like, we need more from him. Even Duclair on the first line tonight, he scored a goal. He had a hat trick last week. It's not always going to be pretty with a $3 million player, but he's doing what he can. Drouin being like pretty much a complete zero recently. It's not good, and I don't like how he just gets a million opportunities to keep on. I just don't like it. I mean, it's not like this guy has so much equity within the dressing room. He's been on the team for 6 months. I don't like it. I think it's time for maybe a healthy scratch, maybe play on the fourth line. And I know fourth line Jonathan Drouin doesn't really sound normal, but I mean, this team with their fourth line, they put anybody down there. That's a guy we need more from, period.
Don't you think, though, they're maybe riding him out because it's the sort of situation, if this team is to go anywhere, you do need production from Drouin? Like, if Drouin remains on this pace, or not even pace, I mean, he hasn't been doing anything for so long now, especially with Horvat out. Like, if he doesn't get going a little bit here, we need so desperately to find this secondary scoring, and he's not helping. We know the guy has no finish. He's more of like a Barzal light, just more of a pass first guy. But even when the opportunity is right there, he just passes everything up. I think they're trying to find a way to work through it with him sort of on the fly. So I get not health bombing him, but I agree with you. It's been bad. There's been a couple guys that Shabanov, like, I don't know if you or Ethan mentioned it before, but
it was Ethan. I don't disagree. Sort
of like, we were so high on him early in the season, first few games. He was showing flashes. He looked great. And it's just, I don't know what it is right now. He has a couple good moments, and then he disappears in the game. I feel we have too many players amongst this forward group that just disappear throughout games or multiple games. And it becomes frustrating, right? Because it looks totally different without Horvat in this lineup. And you need that guy in there to knock everyone down a rung. And when a guy like Drouin or Shabanov are kind of called on to say, hey, let's get a couple here because our main guy's out, they can't really do it. I mean, they put up four tonight, but it wasn't really a game where you truly felt they put up four. Like, they scored three in, what was it, 2-3 minutes, and then they scored that one at the end. It wasn't like a true four goals in a game night. It was kind of just this hot streak in the middle of the game, and then one – sort of empty calorie goal towards the end just to make it close.
Yeah.
And that was it. It didn't feel like, I didn't walk away from this game saying the offense played well, because it was just that quick spurt and the Schaefer goal at the end.
They didn't control the issue. they didn't control play at all, which is why we all feel that way, I think. So Drouin, we just went over. I mean, Ethan, do you have anything to add? We're pretty much just roasting the guy, I guess.
No, I'm done.
Well, Jack had mentioned he would go to the extent to health bomb him. And I said, I think he's the type of guy you have to have work through it, because if this team's going to go anywhere, you do need a little something from Drouin. If they're going to make a playoff run, if they're going to make some noise here, I don't think you could have Drouin being a passenger, while Shabanov also is. Duclair has recently come back to life, but prior to that, he wasn't looking so great. So we need a couple of these guys signed to term deals to step up here.
Lee didn't have a point in his last seven games before his primary on the assist to Duclair tonight. So, and you know what? I feel like he's playing well. He just hasn't been on one of his finishing streaks. But
he's playing. I don't have an issue with Lee right now. I think he's playing okay.
Yeah. Pageau, on the other hand, I mean, he's been really quiet. He scored against Minnesota. I feel like that was a really fluky goal.
It went off his foot.
Yeah, they need way more out of him. Like, if we're being real honest, the only player that has truly stepped up goal scoring wise has been Holmstrom.
Yeah, last couple of weeks.
It's been Simon Holmstrom. He's been the one guy that's
the
like Swede, truly
the 24-year-old.
It's been the 24-year-old Swede who's elevated his play. It really, other than him, I can't. I guess Duclair with his hat trick and goal, but that just felt like one of those crazy nights where he had
empty calorie hat trick, Jack.
I don't want to say it was empty calorie because it was early in the game. He scored the second through fourth goal, so you can't call it empty calorie. But it felt a little Mickey.
It was a little Mickey. Mickey Mouse hat trick.
Yeah.
Not to take away credit from the guy. Just to comment on it real quick, I would absolutely health bomb Drouin. I feel like we've seen this a number of times with a bunch of different guys this year. You know, a bunch of the fourth line, they've been health bombed. Duclair's been health bombed. Richie's been health bombed. Like, you know, I feel like Jack is going to love this, but this is not exactly like Drouin is a member of the country club. You know what I mean? Like, who on the team is going to get upset or throw a fit?
That's actually the point I made before.
And you know what? If it's so bad, just bench him for a stretch and piss him off enough that he wants out, and then have him wave and move at the deadline.
One forward you mentioned.
Ola Drury.
Popping off Drouin for a sec. I think Richie's looked good last stretch.
Yeah. It's like also hard because his line mates are changing, I feel like, every other game, right?
Every game, but I don't know. I watch him play, and I'm more and more confident in him.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's going to be a guy. Like, I'm confident he's going to be a guy.
And when we're also, like, asking these players to step up, we have to be rational with a 20-year-old and not expect him to be the one to pot, like, five goals in seven games. So I think from like, development standpoint, like, he's been pretty solid, and I love what I see from him.
I think he's been one of their, over the last maybe four or five games, I want to say, I think he's been one of their better forwards, to be honest.
Yeah.
At least one of the more consistent.
Agreed.
So we kind of talked about the passengers among the forward group there. Maybe we move on to another part of our rundown we wanted to discuss. Is this Isles team real or fake? Because we often talk about in our Discord the eye test versus the analytics. And we know some people amongst our fan base have issues with Law, don't love him. And then old men like Ethan and I say, look, second in the Metro, you can't complain. It's the National Hockey League. You win, you win. How are you boys feeling on this team? Do you think it eventually drops off and the analytics prove to be true? Or is this just enough of a vibes team that they could ride this out?
It's hilarious to have an analytics conversation among us three.
It's not necessarily an analytics conversation.
Well, again, not everyone's got an 8-digit solar-powered Casio calculator on this chat.
What I'm saying here is the underlying numbers, the private models, they're saying the Islanders are not good, but they're finding ways to win games.
So you want to know? Yeah.
Do you think this is something that could hold up is basically the question here. Or do you think the analytics will be proven true?
I think, like, at the end of the day, it's not particularly complicated. They're goalieing teams. They stink. They're not a good team. Pulock's come back down to earth. I disagree with you guys. I don't think Lee's been particularly good recently. You've gotten absolutely nothing from Shabanov. Pageau's been atrocious.
Pageau had, like, one, two good game, better games. I don't even want to say good games, better games.
Fine, so, better, but certainly not.
Good.
Yeah, certainly not all reliable good. And
can I say something on Pageau quick?
Of course. guy.
I think he's the worst passer on the team.
Yeah, I've always felt that way.
And it's just like the defenseman just intercepts it so easily, reads the play. He's not a good passer. Unless it's Simon Holmstrom on a 2-on-1, not a good passer.
He couldn't lift the puck for 2 years, but he's been like this year in the beginning of the season, he was a lot better. I fully agree with that. Analytically, they think, like some models think we are so bad that I actually check it a lot. And this morning when we woke up, they were 5 points clear of the playoff line and they were playing the Jets, who, like, I don't know what the betting odds were of this game. I'd assume they were like a really small favorite or underdog.
The Jets were favored.
Yeah, you see, even the books know. So the model on Jay Fresh's website had the Islanders as a 39% chance to make the playoffs, and the Athletic had them at a 48% chance. To have all of that, to be where you are in the standings with, like, it's not like they have a crazy amount of games played over everyone else. That is what they are that's what they think of the team. But I do think there's a few things to break down there. First of all, the goaltending, which we know. And second of all, I don't think with Schaefer, the model has fully caught up. That, like, I don't know if, like, I don't know if, like, how good he is factored in there, if that makes sense.
It does. My question for people much smarter than us three would be, does the model take him into account too much or too little?
I would just guess too little, because he's a rookie and all of these analytical models are based off
of... The Jay Fresh card is just blue, 90s across the board.
So if we're 39% with Jay Fresh, I mean, he must think our team is ass.
I mean, they do. Their expected goals for like the entire month of December was dead last in the league. They had a stretch where they only scored more than 2 goals 3 times in like 16 games. They're goaling teams. And... like, this is kind of where we can have the debate where how far can goaltending take you? But if they go up against one of these big teams or they see any sort of letdown in the goaltending, it's over.
Who's ready for a crazy stat? 11-0-0, Ilya Sorokin's record when facing over 30 or more shots on goal this season. The Jets only had 22 tonight, so no wonder we lost.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's an insane stat. I mean, he should be the runaway for Vezina at this point, which is a hilarious thing to hear me say after how he started the year the first few games. But last I checked, he was still the favorite, but he was a plus money favorite. And I think he should be an overwhelming minus money favorite. Not to the extent that Schaefer is to win the Calder, but he should be like -200, -250.
Who's in the mix for Vezina with him?
Literally Logan Thompson. That's it.
Well, Ethan, it's really because of the injury factor, I think. But Ilya Sorokin has been so great this year that he just gave up 5 goals on 22 shots and not any one of us is complaining at all.
No.
Like, I think with the goaltending, do you remember in the beginning, obviously we all remember they were 0-3 to start the year. And he was atrocious. And you know why? I think he was getting adjusted to this new system of allowing a million high danger shots on net. And I think after a while, both him and Riddick,
the system of allowing high danger chances.
I think him and Riddick.
You mean bad defense?
Yeah. I think this is my theory. My theory is these two goalies are so used to poor defensive play and high danger opportunities that they're genuinely used to
They're volume goalies.
And they go into
that way about Sorokin, though, didn't you guys? Like, he always played better when he faced shots.
Yeah, especially
not
this
like
year.
Hang back in the crease and face a couple each game. It was always better when he faced a lot.
He robbed Shifley tonight when it was 5-3 Winnipeg. I mean, this guy, that was such a terrible, it was such bad defense. This guy wide open in the slot, one of the better, it might have been Vilardi, but two great finishers. And he just robbed him. And it's like, he let in a goal that probably wasn't that he lets in goals that aren't even as high danger. Like, I think they're used to these really high danger shots, but this is
the game
subject.
Minnesota, we were up 1 and I forget who it was, but he had 2 separate saves where he just robbed them. I think it was on the power play. And then we went back the other way and Cizikas scored the goal. Like,
I think it was Kaprizov he robbed.
I think one of them was Kaprizov, and then they had another chance on the same possession in the offensive zone. And he made another big save. And then shortly after, Holmstrom and Cizikas go down and tie the game. I mean, we all know without him, we're goaling teams, like you guys said. But at the same time, we pay our goalie a very healthy amount of money to goalie games at times. So that's sort of how we're structured. You know what I mean? That's all, what we've always wanted from Sorokin. So Sorokin's having a great season, deserves all the flowers, but just wish they got to pick him up a little bit more here.
Yeah. Also, after that Minnesota game, I was reading like the post game Wild report in The Athletic, and Kaprizov was just like, yeah, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable tonight, just talking about Sorokin and how like it was actually ridiculous. The Islanders won that game, and he still gave up three goals. So that's what these guys have been dealing with this season. I do think it's the goaltending that is the variable that kind of tricks all these analytics models, because I think with the 5-on-5 skaters, like they're pretty on point, but you just can't predict goalies. Like the variance in the position is insane.
It is. All right. So I'm team fake.
Team real.
Oh God.
I've been team real since October. I'm not.
I've been now. Team fake for so long, and I feel like I just recently jumped on the real, and it's.
Let me rationalize this for you, Rocco, because I think Jack and I are actually on the same side here. Like, I think they're fake, but because of the goaltending, they can keep winning.
Right. Yeah. I would agree with that. I would say I'm going to stay real. I'm just going to stay like just vibes team real. Not that they're good or anything else. Vibes team. You got
Shaper. All right. Jack thinks they're real. I think they're fake, and you think they're real fake. Fake real.
Sure.
Okay. Real quick, Butch had an all-time game. The game tonight was just the epitome of how at least I've described the Islanders through the month of December, maybe even a little before that, just pure crackhead hockey. I mean, Butch going on the broadcast, first of all, dropping 6-7 a number of times because of Logan Stanley, and then calling out what everyone in the Discord was like, what the fuck are you talking about with the goaltender interference?
And then the
only for Patrick Waugh to challenge it 15 seconds later.
Got to tell you something crazy. I was actually on the Winnipeg broadcast, and they were certain that that goal was coming back.
Really?
Yeah.
I never
thought it was coming back. So I was like, you know what?
That's pure doomerism right there. When you've lost 16 of your last 20 games, you're going to think that that's coming back.
But you know what the reason I never thought it was coming back is because Sorokin kind of initiated that contact with the blocker. Like he kind of reached out. It wasn't like, I think it was Niederreiter. He didn't really back into him. Sorokin kind of like gave him a little nudge.
Which is crazy, by the way. Nino Niederreiter's played 1,000 NHL games and he's 33.
Crazy.
Makes me feel
freaking old. Remember when he got drafted? His claim to fame was the throwing off the glove, one-handed back, whatever the hell he did.
Yeah.
Never really liked
him. Believe it or not, didn't translate to the NHL that
book. Jack, how old were you? You were like 10.
I was in sixth grade.
It was 2010.
All right, so 11.
Yeah, I remember his ass, though. He couldn't score for shit.
Yeah, his ass was stapled to the fourth line.
We didn't put him in good position.
No.
Yeah.
No. He was playing with Marty Reasoner.
You know, he was honestly here for the darkest bit for my fandom.
08, 09, and 10 were like, oof.
Yeah.
Even a little further than that was real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're bouncing around a little bit. But next up on the agenda was if there are too many passengers in the forward group.
Well, we sort of went through that.
That's what I'm saying. We already went through that. So
go ahead.
No, let's combine it with the next one about the trade deadline. I think we have to take a step back after tonight's game and our latest discussion of real, fake, and fake real. Is this team buying or not? It feels like they're going to.
No way.
And I really don't know about it.
I've said this and I'll stand by this. If you do buy, it has to be around the edges. It has to be low leverage picks or prospects given up. Like, this is not the year to throw a bunch of first round picks. This is not the year. I mean, obviously it's always player dependent. Like, I know Jack's boy, like, if a guy like Robert Thomas is truly available and he's signed long-term, sure, I'd be all right with that if you want to give up some picks.
EP40?
EP40 is a different scenario because I don't think you're giving up a lot for him. I'm talking like a prime asset, like a Thomas. Like, I would do that. EP 40, I think you're kind of just finding a way to take on the salary. I don't think it would cost.
Yeah, but if you're doing that, then this guy's like an actual locker room cancer. If they're not willing to just like let it ride for another year and up his value, and they're just like, go.
Well, I think
that doesn't worry you.
Rebuild too. Like once they traded Quinn, that was kind of it.
Yeah, but you're going to give that guy away for nothing as opposed to waiting an extra year and hoping he bounces back.
Well,
at least that was kind of the strategy this year, no?
You're going to sell him low. Yeah, it was, but you're going to sell him low.
You could still move him, I think, though. Like if another year goes by and it's not better, who's taking him?
Yeah, but you're not. But again, like you're talking about him as almost like a liability because of the cap hit.
But I think if you're Vancouver, you should. I think they would truly be accepting of just ridding themselves of the cap hit and ridding themselves of him. I like the player. I'm not saying they should go about it that way. I'm just saying I think they're at the point where they want to do a full rebuild. To me, once you trade Quinn, I mean, think about it. In the last two,
I agree with you.
Horvat, yeah. Miller, Quinn Hughes. And now, maybe, we'll see, but EP seems to be somewhat available. So it's crazy. I think they should go full rebuild. I don't think there's any team out there aside from maybe the Rangers that are more primed for a full teardown rebuild. So it's just what would EP cost? Like, would you be willing to buy EP? Like, I'm not sending them a first-round pick or anything if we're taking on that whole
salary. Then they're not moving them.
It's over. Case closed. Right. They would demand a first round pick.
Why would they demand a first round pick? He makes $11.5 million, and he's
because
not
in a rising cap. You send money back the other way too.
Okay, so if you're not like if you're going to take Romanov, maybe then I'll give you a first. If you're going to take a shit contract from us,
if Brock Nelson at the deadline, knowing that you got to re-sign him for $7 million at age 33, is getting you a first and a top prospect. EP40 with money going back the other way is costing you at least two firsts.
I disagree, and you know why else? Because I'm pretty sure he has strong trade protection.
Okay.
So he picks his spot. So you got to take into that factor too, because you could try to trade him for the best offer, and he says
yeah.
No.
But you know what? It could be like a Noah Dobson situation. Like here are a few teams go get the better offer.
He did. He wasn't going anywhere the Islanders wanted. He picked his spot.
Yeah, but they still got a good return.
They did, but not you know. And that hypothetically, you usually don't get as good of a return if the guy's picking the spot.
You'd think.
I'll go rapid fire and ask you guys some guys you'd be willing to give a high end asset for.
Let's call it a first round pick. Can we call it? Yeah, this way.
We'll start with Steven Stamkos.
No.
No.
Elias Pettersson.
Yes.
Yes, under certain conditions.
Jordan Kyrou.
Yes.
It's a tough one.
It's a real tough one.
I think it's a tough one for me, too. If you ask me,
he's the Blues guy. Jackie Blues.
But it's crazy. It's crazy to me that you would give up a first for Pettersson and not Kyrou, who makes like $5 million less.
It's because Kyrou was such so much more of a fit, I feel like, when they were really trying. When Lou was here and they weren't worried about the future, when they were just like, fuck the future, let's just try to get better now. I do think he's a perfect fit short term.
But they're the same age, Pettersson and Kyrou.
Yeah, but I feel like Pettersson, he's a center. He's great defensively. He has some things. He has some elements to his game that actually are really important. Where Kyrou, if he's not putting the puck in the net,
right,
you're not getting much. He's not on a cheap deal. There's some baggage with him in St. Louis and like willing to ignore it once again when Lou was here and we were just like, screw all this. But now there's so much like foundation with the Islanders. I don't think I'd be willing to. I'll tell you the next guy.
There's plenty of baggage with EP.
If they demanded Colorado's first round pick for Jordan Kyrou, you wouldn't do it.
Colorado's? Yeah, I would. Colorado's.
Hold on. If the Islanders are buying, what's the pick differential between our pick, assuming that they're buying because they're making the playoffs, and Colorado's pick?
Changed my mind. I would not trade for him, period.
Thank you. I agree. I actually agree with that. And Rocco, I'm kind of surprised because I feel like you and I have spoken about this. I know you like Kyrou, but if you're buying, like I'm buying someone who is both young and has the upside to be like a guy. Like, I don't think Kyrou can be a guy. I think but like, Kyrou, if EP's 40 hypothetically is like, if EP's 40 ceiling is hypothetically like a 90 to 100 point guy, like, yeah, I'll buy that and I'll pay the extra money. And he's got less term than Kyrou, because what, Kyrou's extension doesn't just started this year.
He has a lot.
Did it? No, I know he's got a lot, but it's what, like 5 years.
They both have like 6.
I think I'm good on
Kyrou. Was like, you're taking on 7.
I don't. We could look it up, but the other side I was going to talk about with EP 40 is like, he has that injury risk too. You know, like, he's had some, like, I think he had a wrist injury, he had a knee injury. So
one thing on
factor in too.
One thing on EP 40 with, like, you know, the baggage you're referring to, I kind of trust Horvat to alleviate some of that, just because when he was in Vancouver, there were no problems. But we're not done here yet. We have another guy. Robert Thomas was next for me. I say yes.
Absolutely.
Both first.
After him, we're going to start going to
EP, just to go back on this. EP 40's got one extra year to Kyrou. He's got this year and 6 more. And Kyrou's got this year and 5 more. So not a huge difference.
I don't know what I would do with EP 40, to be honest. I don't think I would do it. 11 million is a lot of freaking
money. If they're taking
money.
Romanov the other way, I'm doing it.
Fair enough. Okay. Next up, Robert Thomas, we just did. Yes. Next up is Dougie Hamilton.
No.
They better give up. They got to give us a first.
I guess for a first round draft pick,
would you take it? Let's Dougie Hamilton. Let's just say in general, would you take him? 9 mil, 2 more years after.
He's a righty.
He's a righty.
Yeah, I would take him, dude.
I'd probably
he's
take
tall.
Him.
And Ethan, he's tall.
I know. I'm taking him.
I'm taking him.
I'm
too.
Taking him.
I'll take him if they attach an asset. I'm not taking him for free.
What if they just eat money?
Eat some of it.
Yeah.
Oh, then I would. They have to eat or give us an asset. I'm not taking them just cleanly.
Yeah.
9 mil.
I mean, they could fit him.
They could fit him. I'd rather have the flexibility.
Next up, Simon Nemec.
Yes.
I would. I love the age factor with him. Like, I think he's kind of like, I think he just fits well with like this entire timeline right now. After him, Rasmus Anderson.
If he's extended, yes. Because he's a free agent to be.
Yeah.
That's what's tough with like these guys that are due contracts. Like, you, like, the one thing that's ideal about like Kyrou, and I think Thomas is already on an extension. Like, those guys are already in that like old salary cap. These new contracts are going to be a little bit crazy, I think.
And keep in mind, Nemec needs one too, because he's an RFA though. So a little different than Anderson.
Yeah. I think I might have run out of, there's one more. Because his name is kind of somehow resurfaced again. Dane Pinto.
Oh, yeah.
His name's kind of out there, right?
No.
I don't know.
I think that's fan fiction on Twitter.
So we're manifesting it, again.
Just like the Pinto texts, fan fiction.
Yeah. We'll call it a second round pick. Kiefer Sherwood.
No.
Me either.
Sick of that topic, man.
Me too. I just wanted to bring it up because I knew all of us would say no, and it's caught like every
can we
guy that releases like top 10 trade options for the Islanders. There's always that fucking Sherwood in there.
Yeah, it's like it's enough already, guys. We don't need him.
I'm done with Sherwood.
Yeah, so am I.
Can we flip this around a little bit?
Yeah.
Sell.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead, Ethan.
Anders Lee.
For what, a first?
Yeah,
that's
the first. For Anders, a first.
I don't think they're trading him, but yeah, of course you would do that.
Yeah, but they're not going to trade him.
Pageau for a second and fourth.
Yeah.
Nah, I rather try to make the playoffs and let him walk for that package.
This is if we were to truly sell. It's not.
Pollock.
For what?
No.
A third.
No.
Not right now.
He's ass.
I agree. I wouldn't do it right now. Because his cap hit is going to be like a bottom pair cap hit. In a
that's
year.
Why? You tell me you're not trying to watch Chris. We're going to be watching 2 Tony D'Angelo's in the field.
Not the Romano.
If they're selling, who cares who we're watching?
How many years does Pollock have left? Like 3?
3, I think
so.
Yeah, so that's like 3 years at 5 or 6 or whatever he makes. We could, like, you could swallow that. The Romanov issue is he signed until 2035.
Until we're dead.
I can't be the GM, man. I don't think I'd trade anyone.
Yeah, we know, Jack.
You would be about to trade them, and then you'd bring them in the room and be like, oh, he's such a nice guy.
I feel bad.
To Charles Wong. We can't trade Dave Scatcherd because
he's a nice guy.
He's visiting kids at the hospital. We want guys like that on our team. He actually blocked.
Who were we getting? He was like a good player, too.
Allison.
Who? Jason Allison?
Yeah, I actually was too young. I don't even know that player.
He was really good. Yeah, way better than Scatcherd, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Charles had his priorities. Poor Milbury, man, for that one.
Hold on, I'm looking something up right now.
I'd love to have Milbury on the spot.
That'd be incredible. Who do you think would be better, Garth Snow or Mike Milbury?
Garth.
Yeah.
My white whale. If anyone listening to this has a line to Garth, please slide into my DMs because I need him on the pod.
Would be fun. So you said Lee, you said Pageau. Did we go over Pelech?
I'm not trading Pelech.
Not trading Pelech. I mean, what if someone offered you like a first and an A prospect?
For Pelech?
Yeah.
You have to consider it. I don't think anyone offers that though.
I don't know, man.
Real numbers, guys. No.
Yeah, he's so good.
The Casio heads, no.
And I want him. I just like want him on Schaefer's team for the next X amount of years, just showing him how to play defense. Basically, like it's a good guy for Schaefer to have, and not have to take on the number one role of taking on the other team's best forward every night and things like that. I think Pelech has a lot of value towards Schaefer.
I'd like to see Pelech probably play out his whole career here.
Okay.
You guys ain't feeling that way, huh?
I mean, I only feel that way about like Schaefer, I feel that way, and Barzell.
Yeah. I don't know. Just Pelech's a rare type, man. Like,
I just don't care. You know what, Jack? How about this standard? How about you win me a cup? You could play until you're fucking 90. I don't care.
I love that by Pittsburgh, by the way. They were with the tribute videos. They're like, we only do tribute videos for guys that won a cup.
I love that.
Because we've gone too far giving it to everyone.
We have.
But they have the benefit of actually winning cups if they could do that, though. We wouldn't be able to do it for anyone.
It's so true.
Hold on. Did I get like Wes Steinberg? And I know this is Isles' house, not Flyers' house, but how do you say the coach's name? Tockett.
Yeah. How do you not know how to say that name?
Bro, I thought it was Toshay for like the longest time.
That's bad.
I don't think it's like an outlandish pronunciation.
Right. It's outlandish because he's all
on from Toshay. What were you going to say?
Tockett. He said something like egregious about Michkov, did he not?
He did. He actually did.
Dude, that's right. I think that kid's a problem.
Fat
you man. Do?
What did he say about coaches, him? I can't even find the quote.
I don't know what he said, but it's multiple coaches in the NHL at this point. It was coaches in the KHL or wherever he was playing in Russia. Like, this follows him. And since we're big math guys, what's the common denominator here? It's always him. Like,
well,
always. And he talks. And maybe I'm an old man, yeah, maybe like I'm a woman here, but like he's firing back at the coach on the bench. Like, just the optics are bad. I've seen him yell at Tockett back and forth. I've seen him do it. Who was there? Torts right before this, right? Seen him do it with Torts. He dropped in the draft because of his history with coaches and off ice stuff in Russia. So I don't know. Kid seems like bad news. Couldn't be my franchise player.
Was this the quote? It looks like he's stuck in mud.
That's his true. Coach. I just want to tell you guys that with Tockett, if you look at his last job and the one he has now, and maybe he had one more before that, historically, his most productive offensive players, once he takes over, their statistics dip. Like a Barry Trotz level dip, like happened to EP40, happened to a lot of players. So, I mean, I don't think Tockett was the right coach for them. Like, they need to focus. They're trying really hard to win this year. Like, they're not focused on developing this guy.
But I sort of disagree on if he's the right coach, because just because he doesn't fit a player that's really hasn't fit with any coach, I don't think that makes Tockett.
They're in a Metro playoff spot right now.
They're in a Metro playoff spot. And I don't think Tockett's the best coach, but I think he's a good coach for the typical Philly style of hockey. They want to play rough. They're gritty. Like, I think he's a good coach for them, at least for the time being. And I think Michkov is the issue.
He's kind of gotten – he's a little bit lucky.
I was actually getting some, I'll relay it into the Discord after we're done recording, but Euroscout sent me a bunch of stuff on him.
Michkov.
So, out on Michkov.
Patreon.com/Isles House. We get interesting baseball, football, NHL, and Islanders.
Is it time for the Q&A?
No.
Oh, I think we got to do Talking Isles. All right. Talking Isles, if you're not a regular listener. Talking Isles is when I'm doom scrolling TikTok and the algorithm feeds me an Islanders video that I think would be fun to play on the podcast. I download it and we watch it. So, Jack, this one's for you, buddy. I think you'll like this one. Ready? First video for Talking Isles.
We basically watched that tonight when we had 32, 16, and 53 out there, man.
Got Jack, I'm shocked identity. You don't need a box of tissues wait, after watching that.
Wait, Ethan, I don't think Jack was with us the episode you dropped the boy chuck. Do you still have that? That you
I dropped? Do. I do have the boy
chuck. Can you play it, please? Can you play that one?
Hold on. I got to find it. This maybe the funniest
bad,
one.
Bad radio right now, but I need
real
that
bad radio.
I don't think Jack has seen this.
Let's hold on.
You were right. Out that episode.
Hold on. Do more bad radio while I look for what the well, thumbnail is.
Why don't
is.
You put the play. Other? Don't you have another? You have Uncle Mel?
No, it's not Uncle Mel. It's actually another one from the same creator I got fed. I'll put that one up while I'm looking.
Okay.
No, nothing. I thought that was hilarious.
No, it is hilarious. I was just going to look up his San Jose Barracuda stats this year. Ollie's got 9 goals, 6 assists, 15 points. The Sharks like announced they were doing a press conference the other day. I slid into the replies. I was like, oh, Wahlstrom must be getting that call up, man. Nice to see he still got some fans out there.
You were going at it with some people on Twitter today.
Oh, you know what? I had my once every 2 months eventual, like, all right, it's enough with these Canadians fans, man. Couldn't do it. And I mean, these guys, they need some help.
Yeah. All right. So I think I found the video, the boy chuck one. I'll play it again. Ready, Jack?
I'm ready.
Gang, gang.
Oh, come on, shake that monkey. Put dick in your life if you're lonely. Bring a friend because I know that you want me. Give it to it till the morning. Love when you do that step. Pretty face, small way with your feet in the air. Like, love when they stop and sell. All the ugly bitches looking.
How does one create that? How does one create such art?
Oh, I don't know, but you're right. It is art.
That was so what? Good.
My God, that's incredible.
Incredible. All right, should we get to the Q&A?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Oh, well, I got mentioned in this channel today, but as I wanted to get rid of that, like, that notification so badly, but I wouldn't break the rules.
Which rules?
These questions.
Oh, we didn't screen? No screening? Okay. Let's run through them real quick.
The first question is from Orion Mead, Rangers fan. What's it like being happy?
Oh, not happy tonight, although Matthew Schaefer did score his 13th goal and will most certainly have the most goals for an 18-year-old defenseman, so that makes me happy.
The serious question, Dan Schaefer, which player would be
unrelated?
Which player would you be least excited about if you picked up your phone and saw we made a trade? Mine is Kiefer Sherwood.
Agree. I think we all agree.
I actually agree. 100%. By the way, when Dan joined the Discord and I saw the notification that a Schaefer had signed up, I shit my pants. Like, I thought it was for sure a family member.
You know what? You got to consider Dan a nice guy too, because he could have played that off for quite a while.
100%.
He was just very honest. He was like,
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Felt the same way, everything.
Yeah, I think mine would be, we've mentioned his name, it's not even really out there, but mine would be Patrick Laine. I just think that guy sucks.
Ethan mentioned him.
I'm the only one who mentioned it.
So I'm going with that one.
Schwab Senior.
Kevin, fake question. When will Patrick Waugh finally snap and strangle Andrew Gross? Probably shouldn't have read that one. Real question. Why the hell do we refuse to use Shabanov in the shootout? Oh, God.
No screening. That's the rule. No screening questions.
They should use Shabanov because, I don't know. I think they should be like, who would be your three? Heinemann's always in for me. Heinemann, when Horvat's out, Heinemann, Holmstrom, Shabanov, I think would be a nice three. When Horvat's in, he's got to go.
Assuming everyone's healthy, Horvat, Holmstrom.
Triple H. You got to do it.
Heinemann, Shabanov, the fourth.
Yeah.
No Horvat, bump everyone up.
And then like Barzal. Barzal's kind of been better this year, I feel like.
He's been a little bit better. I mean, he's going every time.
He's had a few.
I agree with you guys though. Shabanov and Emil Heinemann, who did his best.
Another thing that pisses me off, like fuck, you're the fastest, if not second fastest dude on the team. You're gonna come in and dipsy doodle and go slow and take your time before firing off the worst shot anyone's ever seen directly into the goalie's fucking pad. Like, I can't watch another one. Sorry.
Not a bot, Lyle. When is Bo expected back, and should he not go to Milan to recover from the injury? I think he'll be back before. I think he'll be back well before Milan, actually, and I don't really think it's much of a concern.
Yep,
agreed.
It's pretty public information.
And he's going to go to Milan.
Yeah,
if he's healthy.
He is a tank, so I don't really have any worries about him. LI/Mets94. When is Barzal going to tat his face to fully embrace enforcer status? Well, there is some seriousness to that because he's been a little bit chippy recently. It's kind of crazy.
You know what we need? And all right. So Chris, who is probably asleep right now, but Chris G, when he listens to this tomorrow, we need a Matt Barzal. Hey, Grok, put a teardrop tattoo on Matthew Barzal. Yeah, that's what we need.
We do. Robert, what would you consider a successful first year for Cal Ritchie? I'd imagine we'd all be happy if he's around 30 points to end the season. I'll go lower.
I think 30 is fair.
Ritchie, for me, Ritchie is not about points, really. It's just about how he looks and our expectations going into next year for him. And right now, I think he's playing well. Like, if he keeps playing like this, I'm happy.
25.
I can't get too into the points because, as you said before, Jack, like, look who he's playing. He plays with new wingers every day. He's playing, you know, when Horvat's back, he's probably going to go back down and play with, like, Gatcombe or whomever. So I just want him to look like a true 2-3C going into next year and have him penciled in as that position. So more about where he's positioned for next year than his point total for me.
I also think not all points are equal, and his points are primary assists, they're goals. Like, there's a little bit more to them, and given also who he's playing with, I think he's been really impressive. So 25 points would be good enough for me. Scuds, what does Pageau's next contract look like since he hasn't been great recently? Keep him through the deadline or take what is probably a second rounder at best for him? For me, it depends on where the team is. If they're where they are right now, I'd rather keep him. And depending on that next extension, let him walk or extend him for a cheap deal. But we'll see.
If it was up to me, I'd trade him. I've always been on that side of it. The next deal, I think he's getting more than just like 2 years. I think he's going to get like 4 years, maybe close to $5 million, something like that. Yeah, and I'd trade him. And I still think we're going to get a first because you eat half and he's only $2.5 million. So basically every team will be able to fit that in. So I think if you do move him, you still end up with a one.
It's a little bit disappointing. He was actually really good to start the year, and he's been a shell of himself. I think after the Olympics, he'll probably get back to his game and being like a lot more effective. He's got to be going through something. It's bad.
Yeah. He had the injury. He re-aggravated. I think they confirmed he re-aggravated an injury, right?
Yeah. What is the injury? Who knows? Dom, Which of these guys
skipping A Lupo is kind of disrespectful.
A Lupo 8897. What's your guy's favorite slop bowl place?
Great question.
Jack just thinks all Italian guys are the same. Just jumped Lupo right for Dom. Like everyone's blending in. But what was his question? I'm sorry.
Favorite slop bowl place. I know Jack's answer is going to be egregious because he's West Coast Jack now, and it's probably going to be some like acai bowl bullshit. Here's my answer, because I just had it for the first time in maybe like 7 years. I don't even know if they have them on Long Island. I have to look it up. Naya. If you're a city dweller, you probably know Naya. I just had it for the first time in 7 years, like a couple weeks ago. Slaps. Still slaps. It's Cava, but like 50 times better.
Cava drives me nuts.
Nuts. Their quality has gone downhill.
At Melville, Cava.
Yeah.
I can't.
The one by the Sweet Green.
Yeah. No. The one by Dick's Sporting Goods on 110.
Okay.
They don't care. But anyway, I don't know.
No, Cava's gone downhill.
Jack, I'm a huge Poke Bowl guy.
I am too. I think the most unique one for me
qualifies as slop.
I really like these two in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to go with the Piatta. It's like this Italian bowl, and it's a little bit different. Like you pick like your pasta and like all of these like Italian sides, and it's like I've only seen it there. I don't know where the hell they have those places. What about Bibby Bop? Have you had that?
No, that's Korean.
Sounds like a Barney episode.
Yo, Lupo just texted me. Naya lovers unite. Love that.
Oh, there you go.
We got Naya stands in the chat.
I'm big on I think Greek's the most underrated food. I love a good like gyro bowl type thing. They make good over here, Greek Grill. That would be mine. All gyro right. bowl.
Someone in the chat, Ivan, actually had a poke bowl tonight. Love to see it. Rob Taub's never had one, so you're doing something better than him.
I think we should vlog taking Rob to get a Poke Bowl.
We should.
That would be so funny. Like make him order on his own, don't help him, see where it goes.
Yeah, God knows what will end up in that thing, huh?
I just got another text, huge Naya guy from Brian.
Kirsch?
No, Bleedman. Yeah. Mr. Two Questions.
Oh, man.
From Dom, which of these guys that Patrick was healthy scratched over the last couple seasons are most likely not to be on the team past the trade deadline? Siplikov, Shabanov, Boquist, Mayfield, McLean, Gatcombe, Duclair, Holmstrom.
CBS receipt of names.
It is. My answer is Siplikov and Duclair.
I'm going to say Siplikov and Boquist. I mean, they're both good. Like, Boquist is just – like, would any of us bat an eye if Boquist was just waived at some point here?
Well, that's the thing. If waving counts, Boquist is absolutely one of my answers. What?
He just said off the team, no?
Or did
most likely to not be on the team. So,
yeah.
Boquist scratch, sure. Then Boquist for sure. Siplikov.
Mayfield's going to be here. Did he say Mayfield?
Ethan Bear's coming for Boquist's spot, I think.
I don't think he is.
I think Isaiah George is.
Yeah.
I think George is coming for – well, yeah, but I think that seventh guy is going to end up being Bear because he offers a little bit of a different – he just offers a little bit of a different skill set, I bet, than – and I don't know much about Ethan Bear.
What's his skill set, being boys with Barzell?
Dude, we have two Tony D'Angelos. Boquist is D'Angelo Jr. He literally plays the same game, just a little bit worse than him.
Mainly disrespectful to Tony D'Angelo. And if Jack 6 months ago heard Jack now saying that, Jack would be ashamed of himself.
Tony's played great.
The deadline moves, like, and you know, going around the edges for these moves. Like, if you could get like another Bortuzzo, I think that'd be a fine move. Like, if you're trying to make it and you don't want to buy and go all in, like, if you get a Bortuzzo style guy, veteran guy that could come in and out of the lineup and just to upgrade a little bit. You're not going to go crazy, but just more serviceable guys because Boquist was rough tonight.
It's been atrocious all year. All right. Next question.
He doesn't play that much.
MK9494 long term, would it make sense to trade Lee and Pageau? But with this, long term, it would make sense to trade Lee and Pageau. But with the season the Isles are having, it is almost a lock. Is it a lock that they stay? Would send a bad message to the group if they're second or third in the division.
I think
you're right. I mean, they are going to stay because of that.
But you know what? I think, like, we're guilty of it as well. We get so far ahead of ourselves. Fuck is a Pokeball. Dom, culture yourself, please.
I had no idea that we could see these comments and add them to the chat. That's so funny. Also,
oh, we've been infiltrated.
Highlight this. We had by one loser. I'm going to see if I can ban him. I didn't show that one. This one. See what Jari did tonight? Yeah, I did see what Jari, what it was like, basically at the blue line and lost him the game in overtime.
No.
I'm going to go watch that.
Oh, man. Can we play them next?
Yeah, we're going to get angry, Jari.
Right. But anyway, back to Lee and Pageau. To Lee and Pageau at the I think we got to wait till at least the Olympic break. We're only, what are we, 2-3 points up on the playoff spot right now? We got to see where we're at.
Well, Philly's got 3 games in hand now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're one small losing streak away from being on the outside looking in.
Let's get home first before we answer these questions.
No one wants to hear this answer, but we have to wait and see. That's the true answer. We've got to wait and see.
James.
Olympic break and then deadline. Like, those are the two decision days.
I'm with you. James, with Vancouver heading toward a rebuild, provided the Woody Johnson of hockey doesn't jump in. I love this, James. Who do you see being moved first from them, and do you think the Isles kick the tires?
I don't think it's a matter of who's getting moved first.
Sherwood's getting moved first, and I don't want
to. Well, there's only 2 guys to move, really.
Sherwood and – no, they have a couple guys.
Who else?
Kane.
Garland.
Kane's on the one. I forgot about Kane.
Just saying, by the way. I wouldn't mind Evander Kane on this team, and I know
me it's neither. Actually, I think he's got the snarl they kind of need.
Exactly. Yes, we need Evander Kane.
Yeah.
Yo, imagine telling someone like 3 years ago that Tony D'Angelo and Evander Kane would be on the same team.
Nobody's beating that team. Nobody.
Everyone's beating that team.
I don't know. A lot of people are beating that team, but not a lot of people are beating up that team.
Oh, yeah. Fair. Okay.
You know what? I love that. Give me Evander Kane.
Yeah, I'm with this, Ethan.
Give me the shittiest people in all of hockey.
So I guess that's my answer to you, James. I think it's Evander Kane who the Isles kick the tires on because he could score, throw him in the top 6. He can fight, he could hit, and he's not too expensive, and he probably won't cost that much. So I really think that that's a guy that nobody's talking about. Sign me up.
Joe in the chat.
I'm out on the van rentals.
Sherwood is out 1 to 3 weeks, so I don't know if that's going to – do anything, lose value.
So in 3 weeks from now, you'll get a bunch of Saravalli tweets and from that NHL rumor report. It's coming.
NHL watcher.
Yeah. He's Habs watcher, by the way. That guy's a fraud. Thomas Boyle, if the Islanders are in good position at the deadline, do you think their first round draft picks are in play? For the guys that we discussed before, Thomas, like Robert Thomas, maybe a guy like just like the upper echelon of guys, like, yeah, I do, but that's it. I don't think they're going to do a rental like a Stamkos or anything like that.
If a guy with term that fits the mold of a player that helps the score going forward, sure. Like, if there's a true Horvat trade out there and you could do a first, a prospect, and a player for that type of guy, sure. But I just don't know who it is. I don't really see who would be available that would make sense for us.
I'm with you. Steven B9, do you think the Islanders are a top 5 team in the Eastern Conference?
Everyone watch your pillows.
I do not, honestly. If I'm being completely honest, I do not.
I do not either. I think it's probably close. So Detroit, Tampa, Montreal.
Do you think Detroit's that much better than us?
No.
Yeah, probably. Yes.
No. I don't.
And they're going to be buyers.
I think teams behind us are better than us. Like,
they're buyers. They're buyers, but they're way ahead. Like, they're – I almost see Detroit as where we were when we made our Eastern Conference Finals runs. They're sort of in that mode.
I wouldn't be surprised if that team misses the playoffs. I'm not going to lie.
They're first in the Atlantic right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit – they have a little bit of us with that team. Very dependent on power play.
I think we all forget about Florida, too. I think Florida ends up better than us.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're not better than Florida. We're not better than Washington, even though we're ahead of them right now. Washington is a better team.
You could pick out like 5-6 that are definitely better than
us. You know what's hilarious about the Atlantic? The Red Wings are in first. Oh, no, they're not in first anymore. They're in second.
Who jumped?
Oh, wow. Dude, the Atlantic is wild. So Tampa's played 3 fewer games, are ahead of the Red Wings by a point. I guess after tonight, this hasn't updated fully.
Yeah.
But the Red Wings only have a +1 goal differential on the season, and the Lightning have a +44.
That's wild.
I'm telling you, I think Detroit's a fraud. And you know what? The weirdest team in the NHL this season is the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
It's insane that they have this record. Shout out to us for just handing them 6 points, but it's interesting to see that team still in the mix. They were supposed to be terrible this season.
They do have a good core group though, so
they got some guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Next question, Steiner. How do you expect the goalies to be deployed for the rest of the year? 2 games, Elia. 1 big save, Dave. Play the hot hand. Curious with Elia just getting back from injury. I think this is Sorokin's net, unless there's a back-to-back.
Yeah, agreed.
Like in Edmonton Thursday, you know, Elia just started 2 straight games. I could see Dave starting against Edmonton. He beat them earlier.
He owns Edmonton.
He did stone McDavid on that play early in the season.
You can make a case that changed the season.
Go Riddick Thursday and go back to Sorokin Saturday. That's probably what they're gonna do.
But I don't think injuries really got anything to do with it anymore.
No, I think I think it's like a 2-1, 3-1 sort of ratio. You ride Sorokin a little bit. He's your guy.
Interesting name here from Lyle. Hypothetically, if we acquired Drake Batherson from Ottawa, what would a trade package look like? He has 1 year after this season remaining at under $5 million. That's a first round draft pick, and
that's a really interesting name.
He's big like you like.
He is. This guy's a unit.
The way Jack said it, though, he's big like you like.
Yeah,
I like him.
Definitely a weird way of saying it.
No, dude, make it as weird as you want.
I mean, if they were willing to deal him, why not? But I feel like Ottawa doesn't want to sell. Like they'll wait to the very last minute to sell anybody. They kind of want to win. Because
listen, I get it, but when you got you know,
I know
rampant cheating scandals and
I know
what the hell is going on.
Allegedly,
in Canada's capital.
It's but crazy. Yeah, dude, Batherson's he's about to be 28 point per game center, not expensive.
See a point per game puts up that
40 points in 41. He's having like a career
this
year.
This year.
He's a good. He's playing with Tkachuk and Stutzla. Those two.
That'll do it. But like the last 3 years, he's had over 60 points in 82 games.
He's a good player, but I don't know.
I think Ottawa's in a position like they just re-signed Pinto. You have Tkachuk. You have Stutzla. You have pretty good guys on defense. Like, I don't think they're going to be trading guys away, but if he was available, I'd like that move. I like him a lot.
Good question. C-March 2. With goaltending as good as it's been, assuming they add a piece or two to stabilize, is it realistic for this team to win a round in the playoffs if they make it? It is definitely realistic to me because they have some star power that they haven't had in the past. That's the logic. I mean, I feel like against Carolina in the past, their systematic approach really worked on us because we didn't have anyone that could really break through it. I feel like you try that and you got like Schaefer humming, Horvat having a career year. I just feel like there's ways they would be able to break through against them specifically this season. And they would have a mismatch in goal because Anderson's kind of fallen off a cliff this year. And I know I'm just talking about Carolina, but my answer is yes.
I think if you look at what our current matchup would be, I think we win that series. I think we'd beat Philly. It would be us versus Philly right now. I would pick us to win.
Matchup dependence. I agree with that.
Carolina, Tampa, we're not winning, but I got us over Philly.
A Gillette 3 part. Would you consider Panarin as a rental? What would be your package? Would he be fulfilling his karmic circle by helping us in the playoffs after using us as leverage 7 years ago?
Can I just say something on this topic? Not even him, but just in general. I want to see someone on the list come to Long Island. So Ethan has to make a decision on how he goes about that because he has all these guys on the list and it's never happened. And you'd have to make a decision. I mean, you don't have
never
to
happen.
You have to see when it happens, but. Do I think him as a rental? No. Would I consider him in the offseason? Yes. I think he'll go. I think it'll be too much money, and I don't think he would come here, but I'd consider him in free agency.
I have a take about Panarin, man. I don't think he's a team player. Fuck that guy. He doesn't need to come here.
Okay. I think he's a great player, but I don't think
he is. No, he is, but he just feels more about his individualism than like actually helping the team win. I think the real reason he didn't come to the Islanders was all about the hockey. He would have been forced to play like a two-way game, and you know, his points would have taken a hit. I don't know, man. Like
No, the reason he didn't come is because of his wife. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right, I don't think it was about.
Would I consider Panarin as a rental? No. Would I consider him in the offseason? Also, no. Artemi Panarin would have to violate the CBA and come to the New York Islanders and play for $0 and do so until his fucking legs fall off for me to even consider removing him from the list. Next question.
Mike, BAO, Devils beat the Wild 5-2. Does this mean the Islanders are Fugazi, Siana, Sylvester merchants?
They might be.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. But she's not going anywhere, so we can keep it going.
Lifetime contract.
Yeah.
David S., would you rather buy/stand pat and go into the playoffs and win a round, or start to lose and miss the playoffs and sell off for a potential higher pick?
You know what I would love? I would love David S. to sell off in Dynasty and execute that to him that I was talking about a couple days ago. That's what I would like.
I'll answer the actual question. You always got to root for them to win, right? Like, you can't outwardly root, especially now. Like, it's not like the Islanders are getting a top three, top five pick. Like, if it's pick 10 versus pick 20, like, a lot of times that doesn't end up being that much different of a player or that much better of a shot at landing that guy. Of course, if you had the option just straight up as the draft, you'd want to pick 10 over 20, but it's not like I think this draft is pretty balanced, that between after the first 6-7 picks from like about 10 to like 25, you could still get a really nice player. So I don't think it's a huge difference. So you definitely take the win route, in my opinion.
The Bry Man. Let's be optimistic, boys. Sort of a two-parter, as you all expect from me. What teams would you want to match up with in the playoffs, and which teams would you want to avoid? You can answer for entertainment, value, or likelihood of winning. So who do you want to avoid, and who do you want to play?
Carolina is really the only team I actively want to avoid.
And Tampa. I still have Tampa PTSD. I'd say them too.
Can you, yo, if in the old Eastern Conference format of like 1-8, our opponent right now, we'd be heading for game one at the Bell Center.
Could you imagine?
Can you?
Entertainment purposes, that would be the matchup.
Schaefer and Hudson just like flying around.
What do you mean? Talk about the guy you should talk about. Dobson.
Heinemann.
Getting booed into oblivion at UBS.
Whoever hits him, that place would go just insane. He would be fumbling the puck at the it would be incredible, that playoff series. I think we would win it.
We could.
Of course I do.
Of course you do.
Teams I'd want to avoid though: Tampa, Washington,
Washington.
The big boys.
And Florida, of course. Those three.
Yeah. Good list.
Next up. T. Isaac 39.
You get both parts of Bryman? Hold up. You got.
Yeah, because he was
matchups and avoids.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was the two-parter.
Bit of a cop-out two-parter.
Yeah, not the best two-parter. I'm going to talk about it. Just like the launch, you want to talk about
it. I'd throw this one up here real quick. I want to see Wah throw hands with Dobson in the tunnel. Yeah, apparently they didn't get along.
We got to worry about Rantanen first.
Yeah. T. Isaac 39, don't really have a question other than how fun has the season been? It seems like forever since I've had so much fun watching this Isles team. It's really been an insane season. I mean, do you guys realize in 3-on-3 overtime that they're like 6-0? They've only lost in shootouts. That's insane.
Well, yeah. When you have Schaefer, it helps a lot.
Yeah. And by the way, like that's. I can see that being something when we were talking about the analytics models that like that's due to balance out throughout a regular season. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Final question. Isles 30-24. I think we could all agree the Islanders' real window for contention is probably a few years down the line, but sometimes lottery balls literally roll your way. The East is wide open. Sorokin's playing like the best goalie in the world. And all of a sudden, this team is staring at an opportunity none of us planned for. What are the moves Darsh can make to give this group a real shot without completely jeopardizing the future timeline? Well, you heard it here from me and Ethan. We want Evander Kane. and we need another defenseman probably, or just hope that Isaiah George can come up and play some great hockey for us.
Bro, he can't be worse than Boqvist.
No way. No. He's going to be a stud when he gets up here. I'm excited to watch him.
I agree. If you want to supplement this team with some moves to give him a chance at a run, like – someone of the Evander Kane mold that's just tough being amongst the forward group, that would help. And then maybe an upgrade to the D group. Maybe that's the spot you would consider moving a first round pick if a young D is available that maybe wants out of his current situation and fits this team a bit.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And that wraps up the questions. But if you're still with us, thank you guys all for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll be back soon. Subscribe, follow us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check out the store, check out the Patreon, join the Discord, and we'll talk to you guys very shortly.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she's a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a knife to keep, he can't hang around.
Ayo's house, in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.